I think it's really important to look kind of inward and put your blinders on and say, like, what am I really good at? Like, what have I seen tried and true success in? Not like a one-off, like this one quick launch went well, but like, what is something that you can confidently say, man, I am really good at this. Like, I'm better at this than the people that taught me how to do it. That, I think, is a really, really good question to ask yourself.
Have you ever considered teaching others in your industry what you know? Have you ever considered charging for this knowledge and experience? While I am sure that many of our listeners are currently thinking absolutely not, there are countless other people in my industry who are way more qualified to teach than I am. The fact of the matter is that there are always going to be people further along in their businesses than you are, but there are also others dreaming of literally having the business that you have right now. And if you're willing to share your knowledge with them, you can, one, help them achieve their dreams, and two, create another stream of income for your small business. If even having just a toe in the education space is of interest to you, you are going to love this episode of Priority Pursuit, because today we have the queen of education, Layli Amati, on the show. Layli is an educator, speaker, and conference host with a heart for serving clients and fellow entrepreneurs through her coaching work. As the host of the So Here's the Thing podcast, which is great, guys, I'm a regular listener, just by the way, and as the founder of the Creative Educator Academy, Layli believes in leading with heartfelt encouragement and honest guidance. As a longtime entrepreneur herself, she's not afraid to dig into tough topics on transparency and share her own experiences, the good and the bad. Layli is passionate about her goal to equip you and your ability to make a difference, create impact, and to build a life doing what you love, which, you know, if you were a regular listener of the Priority Pursuit podcast, we are all about that as well. And today, Layli is on the show to share how we, as small business owners, can make education an additional stream of income in our businesses. Layli, thank you so, so much for being on the show. I am just thrilled that I get to have this conversation with you.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Well, Layli, you have so much going on. And I mean, through your entrepreneurial journey, you know, you've seen several changes over the years. So my introduction just like can't do justice to all the things that you do and all the ways that you serve. So before we dive into today's topic, would you mind introducing yourself and just telling us all the things?
Of course. I actually think you did a great job introducing me. That was so, so good. I feel like you covered a lot of it, but I do. I've done a lot of things in the past decade, which is crazy. This is like my 10th year in business, which is insane. And in the entrepreneurial space, I do a lot of things, but primarily these days, over the past few years, I've been working with speakers and educators, course creators, coaches and mentors on efficiently, impactfully, and effectively sharing what they know and making a living doing it. And it's just been an amazing journey. And I love helping entrepreneurs just, you know, change their industries and change their worlds and hopefully impact their own lives as well while doing it.
Oh, love that. And guys, just in case, you know, Layli is too humble to brag about this, I do just want to give her major props for the Creative Educator Conference. We were there just a couple months ago before this recording. And guys, it was phenomenal. Seriously, hands down, one of the best conferences that I have ever been to. And if you are at all interested in being in the education space, you have to check it out. And, you know, it's in Dallas, where it's typically warmer. You know, snowstorms are another thing occasionally, but it was wonderful from beginning to end, and I can't recommend it enough.
Thank you so much. It was so good to have you here, and it was so good to have all of the educators that came. It was like such a beautiful community, and I could not have asked for better attendees and staff and speakers. It was, you know, all credit to them. It was amazing.
Oh, well, we could not have asked for, you know, a better leader and host. It was your vision, and man, it was just wonderful. And guys, I could seriously gush about this conference forever, but then you wouldn't get to hear so much of Layli's wisdom today. So Layli, we are on the Priority Pursuit podcast, which means we have to start this conversation by talking about priorities. And I am especially excited to hear your answers to these, just because I know how thoughtful and intentional of a person you are. and how hard you've worked to build a business that really works well for the life that you want to live. So let's start on the personal side. What are your personal priorities and what kinds of boundaries do you set to protect them?
This is so great. I love this whole concept behind this podcast. So I'm excited to dive in. My personal priorities are definitely 100% my family first, myself and my family, I would say first. And I used to be really shy and hesitant about saying myself, but what I've realized over the past few years of entrepreneurship is if you are not taking care of yourself, it's really difficult to take care of anybody else. And so myself and my family are priority one. My time is also one of my top priorities. Again, I feel like it all leads back to like the people that are the priority for me. And time is just something that is finite and that we only get a limited amount of. And so I want to make sure that I am really, really prioritizing my time as much as possible. I guess that's pretty much it. Honestly, those are like my top priorities is my family, myself, and my time.
And those are beautiful and cover so many facets of life. And then, Lily, what are your top three business priorities? So in other words, what like tactics move the needle in your business most? And what kinds of boundaries do you set to protect those?
Yeah, so in business, it kind of reflects my personal priorities as well. My community is probably my number one priority. And so people are, I think, just so important to me in all facets. And so, the boundaries, I set a lot of boundaries around my time. But in terms of like boundaries around community, I try really hard to like greet my community with open hands and just like set less boundaries around community and more boundaries around the time surrounding it. So time is a second priority to me in my business. And then the third priority in my business is myself because my health, my mental health, my physical health, because those things I have found are really undervalued as business owners. We think about, finances, we think about numbers, we think about marketing, we think about our community, our clients, our students, whatever it is that you do. But we can't do anything if we are not well. So I definitely think that keeping that top of mind for my priorities in the past few years has been a game changer for me.
Oh, I love the intentionality behind all of those answers. And I feel like when you have this beautiful blend of your personal life and your business, like on this podcast, we don't believe work-life balance exists. However, that's just a beautiful, beautiful work-life blend. All right, Lily, so excited to talk about education with you. And I could gush about you forever, but guys, I had the pleasure of meeting Lily a few years ago at Show at United's conference when, that was still a thing. It's sparked now, so it's changed. But Lily hosted a breakout session about stepping into the education space and what that could really look like. And Lily, I told you in the past, like, I'm so thankful for that breakout session. I was just a period of like in my own business where I was starting to have questions and starting to move into that space. And guys, Lily gave me a little bit of tough love that day and just like, just do it. Just do the thing. Like, why are we talking about this? And it was great and it was wonderful and it was exactly what I needed. But what I love about everything that Lily does is the fact that she just she just kind of gives you the confidence that you need and really talks to all of your insecurities in the meantime. But anyway, Lily, if somebody is listening and they're like, I don't know why I would want to add education to my business, or I'm not really sure like if that is the best route for me, can we just start by talking about the benefits of adding education as a stream of revenue to your small business? And then I guess also like what it actually means to add education to your business, just in case anybody's listening is a little bit confused.
Yeah, I mean, it can be confusing, especially if it's like something that's new to your world or new to your scope of like things you want to pursue. So when I talk about adding education as like a revenue stream or adding education to an educational side of your business to your overall business, most of the time I'm talking to people who are service providers. So like photographers, artists, copywriters, makers, anybody who has kind of a business that is very much like, here is what I do and here's the money I get for it, whether it's a service or a product. When I talk about education, I'm talking about monetizing your knowledge. So it can be anything from mentoring and coaching to getting on a stage and speaking. And primarily these days, I'm working with speakers more than anything else. And that's something to talk about for sure. Course creators, membership hosts, conference hosts, retreat hosts, like anything that you want to do where you are essentially getting paid to share what you know or facilitate the distribution of your knowledge in exchange for money. So that's how I would kind of like define it. I don't know. Hopefully that was helpful, but
yes.
Okay, good. I was like, I know it was like a lot, but essentially it's just like, hey, you know something and somebody else wants to learn that thing. Let's get paid for it. And then in terms of kind of this, the first question, I answered the second question first. In terms of the first question of like, you know, what, why would somebody want to add this into their business? I think there's a lot of reasons. One, you know, and I don't believe that any of these reasons, I don't think there's a hierarchy, like in no particular order. One, maybe you just really love people, like you love to help people. You have like a pull inside of you to share your knowledge. You're like, I just done this thing and it's going amazingly well. And I really want to share it and make people's lives better. Like I could help somebody by sharing what I know. So that's like one motivator. Another could be, okay, so things are going well, but I really want to scale, but I don't want to take on more clients in this area. So maybe I could add an additional revenue stream and make a little bit more money sharing something that I know. That's totally fine too. And another could be just like people are interested and people, there's demand, right? Like the traditional good old like business, MBA, whatever, like supply and demand. People are asking you all the time, like, hey, how did you do this? Like, I noticed that you do this one thing better than anybody else. Like, can you share your secrets? And maybe you've gotten to a point in your career where you're like, you know what? I don't care about secrets anymore. Yeah, I'm going to share it and let's monetize it while I'm at it. So there's a lot of reasons that you might want to add that additional piece of your business. But I think no matter what that motivator is, I think determining what it is really helpful when you're getting started, just so that you can better adjust expectations and figure out how you want to approach it.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for breaking all of that down for us. Lily, I've had the pleasure of hearing, you know, your own story and how you ended up in the education space multiple times now. But for the sake of our listeners who haven't heard your story, would you mind sharing how this came to be? Because obviously you didn't just like wake up one day and you're like, I am such an amazing educator that I can now educate other educators. So tell us how that all went down.
Yeah, no, for sure not. It's not my style. Great question. So before I was an entrepreneur, and actually while I became an entrepreneur, I was also a full-time high school teacher. And within my school district, I also worked on curriculum design. And I was lucky enough to work with a team of incredible educators to create curriculum for our entire district for a couple of summers. And it was great. And what I found with having that career as like a truly trained educator in the school system, and then being an entrepreneur, I didn't see like a tie-in in the beginning, but a couple of years into my photography business, that's how I started as a photographer. A couple of years into my photography business, there was a demand for me to help the high schoolers I taught and their parents. Their parents had cameras that were nicer than my camera. Like I was a professional photographer with gear that was not as good as these parents, but they didn't know how to use it. And so I started doing like mother, daughter, you know, like how to use your camera classes. I called them like, it was really sweet. I called it like photography 101. And, you know, it was like an afternoon. And so I started doing little workshops. And then that escalated because some of those moms took it and ran. And 2 years later, all of a sudden they have a business. And then they're like, okay, so how do I do this business thing? So that became business workshops. And that became those amazing, amazing women, some of them went up and they were like, well, now I want to start teaching a photography 101 class. How do I do it? And so it just kind of was a really organic path for me. And it's not always like that for everybody. And I want to acknowledge that, because if you're sitting there listening like, well, that sounds nice, but like I don't have an organic pathway that's like a full circle moment of I'm a teacher and I'm a service provider. You know, it sounds really nice and it was very natural, but it was also hard to do all the things at once. As you know, priority, pursuit. You gotta pick and choose what you do. But, you know, my story, it was very like full circle. I always loved educating, and I loved so much being able to impact people's lives and see things like actually come to fruition for people as they're working and as they're learning and as they're bettering themselves. And so that was really cool for me. But, my story is definitely not the norm in education, but I'm happy to at least be able to provide people with bridging the gap between like, okay, this sounds fun and I don't know how to do it. I love to be able to be like, you can do this and this is how.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing. I know. I just feel like people, yeah, it is this beautiful story. And I mean, yes, like on one hand, it is, you know, your skill set in that you are a trained educator. And so I think your brain just kind of works that way as a result. But then also, you know, just seeing opportunity after opportunity to more or less slowly move into that education space. And I mean,
yeah,
you're already
super slow.
Yes. But hey, and now look how many beautiful, beautiful things that are happening. And I mean, I think it's also important to talk about that process. And then, I mean, you know, obviously your students can move into the education space a lot faster because you like lay it out for them and that's all well and good. But I think a lot of people forget to how long it actually does take to get there. Like it's not going to be this overnight thing. So yes, everybody just needed to hear your story before we got any further. Okay, so Layli, with that in mind, if somebody is listening right now and they're like, oh, okay, like this sounds good to me, but like, I don't know, am I qualified or not? How do you know when you're ready to start teaching people what you know? And then also, how can you determine what you should teach? I feel like we've already touched on this a little bit, but I feel like this is just one of those topics that like so much imposter syndrome comes with it. So we gotta like just make it really clear for people.
Yeah. And this is such a hard question. It's a hard question for somebody to ask themselves, I think, more than it is for me to give tips on. So I just want to just share some encouragement that like if you're listening and you're like, oh my gosh, I have no idea. That's okay. Like you might not have an idea right now, but hopefully this will spark something for you. Okay. So first, let's kind of talk about determining what you want to teach or like the idea of teaching sounds interesting, but what you want to teach sounds overwhelming because you see all these people in your world teaching things already. And you're like, well, I'm not, I'm not going to be the next so-and-so. So like, what's the point? I think it's really important to look kind of inward and put your blinders on and say like, what am I really good at? Like, what have I seen tried and true success in? Not like a one-off, like this one quick launch went well, but like, what is something that you can confidently say, man, I am really good at this. Like I'm better at this than the people that taught me how to do it. That I think is a really, really good question to ask yourself. And it can be hard if you're battling imposter syndrome or comparison, it can be really hard to compliment yourself. But I think if we really sit in that for a minute and say like, I'm not saying I'm the best person in the world. I'm not being, this isn't about inflating your own ego. It's like sitting down and being really self-aware. Like, what do I excel at? And maybe a follow-up question is, have I ever helped somebody else excel at this thing as well? And if you did, like, how did that go? And if you didn't, maybe you should try. So that's always a really good starting point, I think, is I like to tell people no matter what, format or platform or setting of education they want to pursue, if they want to be a coach or they want to be a speaker, it doesn't matter to me. I always say, like, if you're still figuring out what you want to teach, maybe start on the one-on-one and see, like, can I help one person excel at the thing that I know I'm best at? And if so, like, continue on the path of exploration and understand that whatever this is, okay, if you haven't been listening, if you tuned out, this is such a good tip or such, like, I don't know, like a nugget of something that you might want to hang on to, because I have to tell myself this all the time. Whatever you decide to start teaching does not have to be the thing that you carry with you for the next 10 years. You can try something and not commit to it forever. So just see, what is this thing that I consider myself to be best at? Can I help somebody else be best at it too? How many times can you replicate success for people? So that's kind of figuring out what you want to do. And then the how you want to do it is another question of like, what setting and platform do I want to pursue? But that's like a whole nother thing. I don't know if you want to get into that.
Many small businesses don't have an effective marketing strategy, and because of this, they try one tactic after another without seeing results. This not only prevents consistent business growth, it makes managing marketing efforts more difficult than it should be. As a marketing agency for small businesses, we understand how frustrating it can be when hard work doesn't deliver the results that you want. Because of this, TreeFrog has developed a proven four-step marketing system that will help any small business grow. On our website, you can also schedule a 30-minute discovery call to discuss working with TreeFrog to build a marketing strategy that will allow your small business to finally see the growth you've been working so hard to achieve.
Photographers, would you love to spend less time behind your computer and more time shooting with your loved ones or doing literally anything else than editing? If so, it's time to outsource your editing. Now, I know what you're going to say. I can't outsource my editing. An editor won't be able to match my style. But friend, I'm here to tell you that you're wrong. I've been working with Photographers Edit for years, and their team of experienced editors match my editing style perfectly because, one, they took the time to get familiar with my preferences and brand. Two, they look at the sample edits I include in each Lightroom catalog. And three, they allow me to submit feedback after every project, so the next time we work together, things are even better. Outsourcing my editing to Photographers Edit has drastically streamlined my workflow. I mean, after I shoot a wedding or a session, I simply cull the images and mark the photos I want to blog using AfterShoot. Then I create a Lightroom catalog, only edit the photos I plan to blog and share on social media. I add a green label to the photos I edit, share the catalog with Photographers Edit, and they use the photos I mark in green as samples to finish editing the remaining images. From there, Photographers Edit sends the catalog back to me within a few days. I review the images, export them, and share my clients' galleries with them. Outsourcing my editing has given me the freedom to spend more time with Zach and Hattie, go to bed at a reasonable time, better serve my clients, and work on projects I'm excited about, like this podcast. Right now, editing is likely taking up most of your time, but I can tell you from experience, doesn't have to. To receive 50% off your first order from Photographers Edit, go to treefrogmarketing.com/PE or simply use code VRayburn at checkout. Again, that's treefrogmarketing.com/PE or use code VRayburn at checkout.
Oh, yes. Yeah, let's get into it because I think, with the internet now, especially, there are just like seemingly countless ways that you can educate others, seemingly different, like countless ways that you can charge for it, just all the things. So, yeah, can you break down kind of like what the main education like formats are? Yeah. And, you know, this is full disclaimer. I probably should have put this disclaimer at the beginning, but I feel like people already know. All of the things that I'm sharing are based off of like my experience. And so by all means, there are more things than what I'm talking about out there. But what I consider to be kind of like the core formats of education in the creative industry are one-on-one coaching and mentoring, speaking, whether that's, and speaking, by the way, in my opinion, at least like as a speaking coach, there are so many more things to speaking than just getting on a stage and being like a keynote speaker. There's so many more ways to speak. In fact, what we're doing right now, I consider part of speaking. So podcasting, YouTube, whatever. So one-on-one coaching and mentoring, speaking, course creation, or digital products or digital education. And this is kind of like more one to the masses instead of one-on-one. In-person events. So whether that's conferences, retreat, masterminds that meet in person. And then that leads into probably like what I would call maybe the last core kind of format would be peer-to-peer or small group. So like masterminds, group coaching, maybe memberships, although I kind of consider memberships to be more digital education. So those are kind of like the main things that we'll see out there and we see a lot of. And I think right now courses were like the biggest thing and now have become kind of like the thing that people are kind of feeling weird about. So Take that for what you will.
Yes. Well, I mean, I think there are just so many of them at this point that it can feel extra overwhelming.
Which doesn't mean you shouldn't do one, but like, I get it.
Yes. Yeah. And unfortunately, we probably all have, you know, at least one or two courses that we paid for and didn't use. But that's a conversation another day. Okay, so Lily, on that note, though, we talked about how, you know, like starting one-on-one, like that's a beautiful place to start. But with all those formats in mind, what would you recommend that people do next? Or how would you recommend they like decide which format they're going to use next?
Yeah, I think like definitely, like I said, starting with the one-to-one, and all the while, I don't think this is something that like you should decide after or before. I don't think there's like a time frame that you make the decision. I think it should be something that you're consistently thinking through, which is like, what type of educator do I feel like resonates best with my personality type, with my priorities, with my boundaries, with the things that I want to accomplish? So for example, if there's no like tried and true formula, but I talk about this a lot in the academy with my students. It's like, you want to find the sweet spot where what you teach aligns with how you want to teach it, which aligns with like the things that you want out of life and out of business. So if I'm somebody who's maybe a little bit more introverted, and I also have a lack of time, a course might be best for me because I have a lot of knowledge I want to share, but I don't have a lot of time to share for, you know, like taking on a bunch of new clients. And I don't really want to go to conferences and like be outgoing once a month. Maybe a course or a membership or digital products or a shop full of digital resources is what's best for me because I find myself to be in introverted or I find myself to have a lack of time. But maybe Susie Q has a really outgoing personality and like thrives on meeting people and loves to like get into the trenches with people. And so maybe she has a combination of going to conferences, getting on stage, and then like scooping up a bunch of like one-on-one clients there and like building those relationships with them, and has like a full-fledged coaching program. So it's really just kind of finding the best fit for your personality. I actually have a quiz on this. It's just leilaimadi.com/quiz, and it kind of prompts you through these same questions that I'm giving now. I basically just told you the whole quiz, but if you're listening to this and you're like, I'm driving, I don't have time, like go take the quiz. It should help.
Well, we can definitely include a link to that in the show notes because, yes, it's a wonderful quiz and people need to have access to it. So, Leila, this next question that I have was not on the list of questions that I sent over. So I'm going to put you a little bit on the spot here because I think that people are listening and, you know, they're thinking like, oh, maybe this is something for me. Maybe I haven't considered doing this before. However, the finances behind it are a bit of a mystery. I think that a lot of people just kind of assume like when they see like these bigger educators out there that like in their, you know, and their huge houses on Instagram, they're like, oh, like either this is where the money is, or like I have no idea whatsoever how to start pricing this. And I know that's such a big question considering there are so many different kinds of education formats, but when it comes to pricing, where would you recommend that people start?
Okay, so I have a follow-up question to this because pricing is a massive question in itself. But because there are so many formats of educating and all of those formats have different price points. So maybe like, do you want to pick a couple and we can like talk about a couple different?
Absolutely. So maybe let's talk about, let's say, courses and group coaching, just because those are two like very different things.
Yeah. Ooh, I have unpopular opinions. So people are, if you are an educator and you're listening to this, like, listen, don't come for me. I'm just giving my opinion here. I'll start with the least unpopular part. Let's talk about courses. So there are a lot of ways to price your courses. And again, this is solely based off of like my experience and my research over the years. I think it all boils down to, with courses, how big, how intense of a course do you want to create? What transformation do you want to promise or create for your students? And there's a lot of questions, but I'm just like going to leave them to like a top three. And also, I guess the biggest question on this is like, who are the people that you're helping? Because let's say let's pick an industry. We'll just go with photography because I feel like it's our commonality. So if I'm a photographer and I'll just use my own stuff. If I'm doing like a 101 course and it's like moms and their daughters, they're likely not going to invest the same as somebody who is growing a business. And they are not going to invest the same amount as somebody who's been in business for 5 to 7 years and wants to, you know, go up another step. And with each of those price points going up for each of those people, the transformation should also go up, right? So like, I kind of look at pricing as similarly as I do to figuring out what you want to do and how you want to do it, which is like, who do you want to help? What is a reasonable expectation for the transformation that you're promising? And how much, like how intense of a course, like how meaty of a course, that's like kind of gross to say, but whatever. I like hate when people use that phrase, but I'm going to use it because I just like don't have another one. But like how meaty of a course is it? Like how much are they going to get out of it? Is it more of like a mini course that's like at a $349, like an entryway? Or is it something like my Creative Educator Academy has range depending on if there's a live element to it? It's been from $1,000 to $1,500 depending on if there's a live element. But it's for people who have been in business for many years and are ready. Like the people who take the academy, for example, the transformation there, they should be able to book one or two coaching clients or launch a course at the end and make their money back times however much they want, infinite. You know what I mean? And so like you've got to look at what are people walking away with and what can I ethically promise and what can I ethically take in order to make it worth it for me? So it's like a lot of moving parts and I recognize that, but that's kind of like a starting point with courses is kind of asking yourself those three questions.
And then what was the other one?
Oh, no. I mean, I think you answered it all in there. We also talked about, you know, maybe group coaching. So if you have anything else to throw in there, please do.
The only thing I'll throw out about group coaching, I guess, and this might be, this is from the perspective of the educator and the person being educated. It's a very hot time for masterminds and group coaching programs. I run a mastermind and I have invested in masterminds for years. In fact, I started my mastermind. This is going to sound like I liked the band before the other people liked the band, but like I started my mastermind before it was like a buzzword in our industry. And I took the idea from my old career. Masterminds have been around from the beginning of time. And sometimes they're peer led and sometimes they're led by, you know, an industry leader or whatever. The cost of masterminds can be astronomical and the return can be incredible. But I have to say that you've really got to sit with like, can I really promise a $20,000 return on a 6-month group call? Like, can I actually promise that for people? And if you can, then heck yeah, that's amazing. Like, you must be amazing. You must be the world's greatest. I don't feel comfortable charging that because I don't feel like I've ever gotten that kind of return from a group coaching program, and I've spent upwards of $10,000 on one. So I charge, you know, in the five to six, depending on like how long it is, what's included. Is there an in-person element? Are there one-on-one elements? And so I really think, again, it depends on like, how do you want to structure it? How much are you putting into it? And how much are people getting out of it? And really being ethical and really being moral in your thought process. And I know that it's easy to see these big names charging like $20,000, $25,000 for 6 months, but you never want to be the person that charges that kind of money and doesn't give a return or, you know, assure a transformation if people put in the work. So that's what kind of my like 2 cents on it. Maybe like 5 cents. That's a lot of sense.
And every penny was great. But no, I'm always like just so refreshed to hear like that is your approach to it. Because I think that a lot of times as small business owners, you know, before you move into that education space, you're just really taught like you need to look at your hours and you need to look at how everything's costing you and you have to figure out your cost of doing business. And that's not to say that these things don't matter, but education is just kind of this different thing. And so sometimes I feel like to quantify it, it's really difficult. However, if you can look at it from the return on investment that you're giving your customers, I just think that's a much healthier way to look at it. And so, yes, I knew what your answer was going to be, but I just wanted to make sure everybody else could hear it because I'm going through the question. Oh, I can't believe I forgot to ask.
No, yeah. And I agree. I mean, I do think that like there is an importance of seeing like, What is quote unquote my time worth? And like, I know a lot of people take issue with that phrase, but what is my cost of doing business? And I'm going to be real. If you can't, like if you can't run a group program for the amount that it would take for the cost of doing business, then don't run a group program. Like you don't have to do anything because somebody else is doing it. You can decide to pour that knowledge into one-on-one coaching and charge as much as you want, or a course or whatever. Like, you can find a different platform that better suits your financial needs. But if your financial needs are so high that you can't make that return happen for other people, then maybe that's not for you.
Man, such a good point. Okay, so glad we touched on pricing. There were so many good nuggets in there. Okay, so now, Lily, if somebody is listening and they're like, okay, that sounds great. Yes, I want to explore the education option. But they're like, how the heck do I like get people to start seeing me as an educator? How do I even start to break into that market? What advice do you have for them?
Yeah, I mean, establishing yourself, I think, in any industry is hard, and it takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of consistency. So I would say first step is be brave and shut comparison down, get your blinders on, figure out what you want to share and start sharing about it in bite-sized pieces wherever you live. So like, if you're living on your newsletter, if you're living on Instagram, if you're on Pinterest, if you have a podcast, if you have a YouTube, and if you don't have any of those things, pick one. Pick one, start there. Maybe you create a YouTube and you go and you share twice a month about like a tip on the topic that you want to teach on. So consistently showing up, consistently sharing about that thing that you decided, hey, I'm the best at this. Like, I rock at this. I am excellent. And so I'm going to share bits and pieces with people, and then they will be able to kind of recognize like, oh, this is something that, you know, so-and-so does. So like, oh, Lely's sharing like five things she does when she gets ready for a speaking engagement. Okay, cool. So she is my go-to for speaker coaching. You know what I mean? So like, just really putting out there that like, hey, I have this knowledge. I'm confident in it and I know I'm good at it. Like, let me help you be good at it too. And then just consistently show up.
See, guys, like I said, she just makes it so approachable and seems so not terrifying. And yes, as we wrap up this episode, guys, continue to keep that not terrified feeling, because I can honestly say, you know, like being in the education space, which is not somewhere that I was, you know, 4-ish, even 3 years ago, has just been this beautiful, beautiful experience. And I'm so thankful, you know, Lely, for you, for being such an encouragement and a resource along the way and to many others. But Lely, I know people listening are going to want to hear more from you. So where can people find you, connect with you, learn more about your conference and your mastermind and your course and your coaching program and just all of the things?
Yeah, I have so many things. We're working on that. We're working on that.
It's probably a little overwhelming to hear somebody else list them all out loud. Like, oh, wait a minute.
It's like, oh, that's why I'm tired. It's fine. Yes. No, I'm just kidding. You can find me over mainly on Instagram at Lely_Imadi. The website's LelyImadi.com. Basically, everything is under my name, and there aren't a lot of Lelys out there, so I should be easy to find. And I do, if you guys, you know, listening, if you feel like, I know I said a lot of things and I went in depth on some, and it can be overwhelming, but I do have an ebook, like a free ebook, and it's all about like stepping into education. And you can find that at LelyImadi.com/ebook. And that should help kind of break down what we talked about in hopefully as equally approachable, but like having it in black and white sometimes helps.
Absolutely. We will include links to all those resources, your social media handles, and all the places in the show notes. Lely, thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you so much for being such a wonderful mentor to me and just for all you do for the creative and small business community. You're the best.
Thank you. I was so happy to be here.